Hey, this is Matt Michaels. I'm joined today by Sin City Steve, and we are going to be talking to a person that I don't hate. You might know him as the metalhead maniac, Sledge. Welcome to the show, Brian Campbell. Today on Matt Michaels Presents People That I Don't Hate.
Biggest Bad Boys Podcast presents Matt Michaels, People I Don't Hate.
This is Alita, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Hey, it's Matt Michaels here with Sin City Steve, and we are here with Sledge, Brian Campbell. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing? How are you guys doing in this whole COVID quarantine thing that we got going on?
Well, you know, amazingly enough, I haven't really thought about this until today, but there's five guys who do the show, and we haven't seen each other for almost like a month now.
Yeah.
It's like total quarantine. Wow. So yeah, it's really strange just talking to each other and not really, you know, being face to face and interacting. How has it been going with you in terms of, you know, that type of thing? Where are you still able to talk to people that you are close to, or have you totally isolated?
No, I'm not really isolated. I still talk to people, you know, that I need to talk to, like Ring of Honor office and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But I usually talk to them via text or via phone call anyway, so it's not like I really get like a whole lot of face-to-face time with them anyway. So I'm back in my home in California right now. I live part-time here and part-time in Baltimore, so it's kind of nice to be when this whole thing happened, and we were actually in Vegas when everything started kind of going down for the 18th anniversary and the past versus present pay-per-view. And they told us that, hey, you know, like we're shutting down the shows and everybody kind of go home. And they told us that our show up until pretty much June 1st. I was on the, I had them book me a flight back home, and I was back home by like that Friday. So.
Yeah, it was interesting.
I've been home now in California for about 3 weeks now.
It was interesting when that happened. We had PCO do a live show here on that Wednesday. And on Thursday,
yeah,
I got him to the gym. We were working out. And all of a sudden, he got off the phone. He had a phone call. And then he looks at me and, well, shit just hit the fan. And he's like, they canceled all the shows. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. So, you know, he was kind of worried about getting back to Canada. And luckily, the office was really good with, you know, making everything happen for everyone. And I'm glad that you got back to California without any problems.
Yeah, man, the office was fantastic. I work for a great company. I really can't complain, man. Ring of Honor has been so good since I've walked into the door, and us being on tour and taking care of like all the things that we need. They've just been so good to me and so good to the talent. It's just, you know, cause we had people from like, we had Session Moth from the UK. Then we had Joe Hendry from, you know, Scotland. And then we had Mark Haskins from the UK. We had Slex coming in from Australia.
Yeah.
You know, he was literally in like LA, got the email, booked up, and right back. Like he's 48 hours, you know, to get home. It was just, the Ring of Honor team is absolutely amazing, you know, so.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear, man. And so how did that come about, signing with Ring of Honor?
I gambled on myself. You know, it's kind of funny that I'm on a Vegas podcast when Vegas is a lot about gambling, but yep. I took a, you know, no pun intended, I guess a pun intended. I took a chance on myself. You know, I got hot for a little bit. I went and you know, I ended Steve Austin podcast. You know, was just like booked every weekend, flying from state to state, doing, you know, what I was doing. And drew me to Ring of Honor. I guess I'm going to go to a Ring of Honor show. I'm a big fan of the product. And the 17th anniversary show, when they were in Vegas in March, I flew myself out. My own dime, went, helped out at a show, busted my butt. They gave me an earlier call time than everybody else the day of the show, so I could help out. Caught the eye of a guy named Ryan Ginley, who is, I would say he's the production manager. I don't really know what his title would be with Ring of Honor, but got his eye. They put me in front of Joey Mercury. I was like, Joey Mercury's like right-hand man that weekend.
Nice.
We were doing the pay-per-view and the TV taping, and it kind of snowballed from there. And then I'm home, and I got a text about 2 weeks later asking if I wanted to come to the G1 in Madison Square Garden.
Whew.
And I went to the G1. I went to the G1 and worked the G1 in Madison Square Garden. And then that's where they pulled me into the office and kind of drilled me, asked me why I haven't been signed yet, offered me a tryout in May, did the 2-day tryout camp. And I was with them starting September 1st. And then I recently just signed my talent deal right before March 1st. So I just signed my talent deal, and then we went on break. So, yeah.
So basically, in some ways, we could say that the whole quarantine is just because you signed the contract. It just, you know, sure. Life, yes, yeah. Where life is this cruel joke.
I got so much heat on me anyway that, like, when I signed, it just imploded everything. And everybody's just like, screw that, shut it all down. They finally signed his ass, shut it all down.
What would you say was the hardest part in terms of leading up to signing with ROH? What was that journey like for you through those years of, you know, training and becoming a wrestler and just trying to, you know, make a name for yourself and get the attention?
It's, you know, the way I look at it is that it's all about the journey. You know, it's not necessarily about signing, because the day you sign, you know, you're just kind of like, you would think that it would be like a bigger moment, right? You would think that, like, you know, fireworks explode in your head and everything goes nuts, you know, and you're like, I finally did it. But then you realize, man, the hard work just started, you know, being on the indies. And trust me, there was a lot of sleepless nights, and there was a lot of financial battles.
Yeah.
A lot of credit card debt, a lot of, you know, financial debt. But it's one of those things where it's like, if you want something bad enough, that nothing's going to stop you from getting it, and making the right connections and making the right moves and believing that you could do, you can do whatever it is you want to do, is a key factor. Because you're going to have people that hate on you left and right, telling you that you can't do this. You can't go and be a professional wrestler. You can't go and be that star soccer player. You can't go and be, you know, whatever it is you want to be. And if you don't listen to the naysayers, man, you just keep grinding, you keep doing it. But yeah, there was like, you know, back to your original question, man, there was a lot of sleepless nights. There was a lot of sleeping in the cars. There was a lot of figuring out how I was getting from, you know, gigs, because I didn't have the gas money, to, you know, you know, I'm trying to think of some other crazy stuff that's happened. Figure out how I'm going to eat. You know, it's just a grind, though. It's really a grind. And if you embrace the grind, then good things come out of it, you know?
Definitely, man. And So speaking of the grind, you had documented a your weight loss journey on Twitter, going from 320 down to 215, and now you're back up to 245. What prompted you to start that journey toward wellness, and what kind of steps did you take?
Being miserable.
Amen.
100%, man. I wasn't content. I was working for the cable company, and I just didn't like what I was doing. I knew wrestling. I was somewhat good at wrestling, and I knew that's what I really wanted to do. So I got my butt in gear, and you know, because I was only wrestling like maybe once a month, if I was lucky. You know, because no one really wants to take a chance on a guy who, you know, is out of shape and doesn't look the part, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. It's like you gotta physically look the part for people to believe in you. And if you don't look the part, then it's kind of hard for people to believe that you are who you say you are. So it took me, I called my buddy AJ Kirsch, and told him, like, hey, man, I want to start losing weight. And I think it's time that I start doing this. And he backed me 100% and helped me with some weight loss goals and helped me like kind of change my diet and change how I lived. And I was in that gym the minute they opened in the morning, because I was still working for the cable company at the time. So I was there from like 5 a.m. to like 7:30 a.m. And then on my first job by like 8.
Wow.
You know? And sometimes I would train twice a day. It was just one of those things where it's just like I kind of got in gear. I got in that mindset that, you know, if this is what you really want to go for, then go for it, you know?
Definitely, man. And the proof is in the photos, man. You busted your ass and you're looking like an absolute beast right now. So kudos to you. I mean, everything's crazy right now with the lockdowns and the stay-at-home orders and all that kind of stuff. What kind of advice do you have for someone who's looking to either stay in shape or get into shape, given that going to a gym isn't exactly accessible right now for a lot of people?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I was talking earlier to somebody about this, where a lot of people go in their day, I don't have time to do this.
Yeah.
I don't have time. That's a big excuse that a lot of people use. I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have time. Well, there's nothing. You ain't got shit to do now. You know, now, you know, exactly. excuse my French, but you know, there's what else are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. We're all locked inside our houses, you know? So there's ways to work out, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, squats, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that you can do that. If you, you know, need extra weight. You know, this sounds weird, but pick up your kid, put him on your shoulders, do some squats. Put your kid on your back and do some push-ups with him, you know? Resistance bands are great. And another way I look at it is, do you think that people, and this might sound really weird, so please, sorry about my analogy, but do you believe that guys in jail or women in jail have equipment to work out with? No. They use their body weight, you know, to work out, you know? It's really easy to go outside and everybody's like, oh, I'm quarantined, I can't do anything. They'll let you go outside and exercise. So you can go outside and go for that walk. Yep. When you're like, damn it, I'm so bored. Like, what do I do? Get your ass outside, go for a walk.
Yeah.
Go outside, you know, it's really easy to change your diet. Shit, the stores are out of everything besides produce.
Yeah.
So true.
You know, go buy, you know, go make some salads and, you know, start changing your diet. There's ways around everything, you know, if you really want, to make that change, you know, right now it's time to make the change because, you know, you ain't got anything to do. So, you know, there's heavy boxes around your house that you can pick up and do some curls with. There's all kinds of stuff they can do. I got stairs in my house, you know, walk up and down the stairs a bunch of times, you know, if you got a dog, go run with the dog, you know, go, oh my gosh, there's so many different things. There's so many people that are posting online workouts from home right now that you could find. AJ Kirsch is a perfect example. I think he does one at like 2 o'clock every single day in a home workout. I think it's maybe 45 minutes to an hour. Jump on, watch his live stream, do the exercises with him, and just keep and push yourself to do it. It's mind over matter. If it's what you really want, you have to put your mind to it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a really good call out, man.
Exactly. You know, especially with being in a quarantine situation, you know, it's important to stay active physically, but it's also important to stay active mentally. And I know that I myself struggle with depression. I know, you know, I've talked about it before. And I know you've struggled with depression and addiction as well.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of first, let's go into a little bit about your particular, you know, situation. When did you realize, because honestly, I've had the same thing with, you know, just kind of getting fed up and then working out and getting myself into shape. And then over the years, kind of letting that go. And now, you know, back in that same boat where it's like, take control of it. A lot of that had to do with my own depression and letting my body go because I was depressed. How did that hit you? And how did you realize that this was something that was going on in your, you know, in your body and in your mind and in your life?
The way that I was acting towards others, honestly, a lot of lashing out, you know, a lot of unmotivated, just being unmotivated to do anything, you know, when you're like, why would I go do this when I can just lay here on the couch and just watch TV for hours, you know, but like you realize that how miserable you are. And like with wrestling takes such a toll on your body. It's like every time we hit that mat, it's like a 35-mile car crash for our bodies.
Yep.
And not do that for a while. And you go and you do that, your body just gets just ridiculously sore.
Yep.
So it was very hard for me to get up and get motivated. But when I realized that this is what I really wanted to do and become a professional wrestler and really take it absolutely serious, because this is a serious business. I took it when I first started out, man, as like something to meet girls and party, you know, and hang out with the boys and go get messed up, you know, live the rock star. But now it's like it's a 100% of business to me. So that's a different mindset that I took. I usually get depressed around this time of year, around the April time. My dad, you know, who has a huge influence with me with wrestling, who actually introduced me to wrestling. You know, April 1st, April Fool's Day, which is like the worst day to ever even try to get in contact with me or even talk to me, is a day passed, you know, on April Fool's Day. Wow. And it's like somebody like everybody wants to joke on that holiday. And growing up, everybody just would want to joke with me on that holiday. And it's not even a holiday, like on that day. And it's just, it was not the day to mess with me. So it's still very, very
Let me ask you this really quick, because, you know, this is something I really didn't think of because I haven't experienced it, but, you know, kids can be so cruel. Was there anyone or, you know, at any point during that time in your life that kids would like use your dad's passing against you as, you know, as cruel as kids can be? Or were you lucky enough that, you know, that wasn't kind of something they'd throw in your face?
I don't have like a particular one that happened, but I know that it was thrown in my face. I wasn't very popular among the kids.
Yeah.
I was kind of, especially after my dad passed, I became a real, real pain in the ass. is a lack of better terms. I was very violent towards people.
Yeah.
I would fight everybody. I tried to fight my next door neighbor, who's like a fourth degree black belt. He tried to tell me to do something. And I was like, you're not my dad. Like, F you.
Wow.
And like I swung at him, and he straight up just kicked me square in the nuts, and like brought me down to reality. Oh yeah, it was it was a swing kick to the nuts and I was down. But it's one of those things where it's just, no one could tell me anything. I thought I was the baddest dude on the planet, man, because I just had that big ass chip on my shoulder for being, you know, a knucklehead. I played football and I didn't give a shit about football. You know, I just wanted to hurt. I just wanted to hurt people.
Right.
You know, but I got introduced to, we're totally going off topic. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My mind just kind of goes and I just kind of start talking and it just kind of goes that way. And I apologize. When I started wrestling, freestyle, it was very, that was a different story, man. That was a lot of, that was like my release. That was my fun. Yep. To get on the mat and like destroy somebody and not get in trouble for it, you know? So, I mean, I don't know how many times I was grounded. I think I was grounded every week for something, you know? Yeah. I remember, battling, you know, my sister, you know, she's older than me, so she picked on me a lot. Oh. And I broke her jaw.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. So,
but you know what? That's the whole thing.
I wasn't very,
but that's, you know, it's not like it's not something that you can, you know, like now you can understand why, you know,
right.
And it's like, you know, it's not something that, you know, I think what happens is we become ashamed of things that we did. And then what happens is, you know, it gets bottled up. And then finally you get to that point where you can kind of release it and know that, okay, you know what? This, you know, all goes back and I'm cool with it now. I'm a little settled. How long did it take you to kind of, you know, get past the anger into, you know, being able to kind of not let it, you know, take a hold of you as much where you can, you know, not just get set off by something?
I still think I've definitely can control it to a point now, but there's still things that kind of set me off where I'm just like, I want to freaking kill you.
Sure.
You know, that's like just with everybody, you know, or anything like that. I think when I don't really have a specific time or anything like that. I just kind of gradually over the time realized, I think I was a very angry drunk. I know that.
Sure.
To the point of like, I was very violent. I fought a lot when I was drunk. I didn't care. Especially when I was all messed up on pain pills too, as well. Like, I just didn't care. I didn't care whether I lived or died. Like, and it was just one of those things where it was just, I think when I got my life clean, I got sober. And I just started seeing like that there is life after everything, you know, that I've been through. Cause I've been homeless and I've been to jail. I've been locked up. There's been, you know, I for the time that I've lived my life, at 34 years old, somebody could have lived four or five different lives out of it.
Right.
With just how much shit that I've been, with how much shit I've been through. But that's just made me like a stronger person, I believe. And I have a good support system now, you know, on the home front. And, there's just, you know, they, you know, everybody, you know, that I surround myself, I don't surround myself with, you know, bad people anymore. I surround myself with people that are positive and try to bring the best out of me. They push me and they kind of check me when I need to be checked. So
at what point, did you recognize that you needed to get clean?
The famous, I guess it wouldn't be famous. When I went into a match completely intoxicated. Oof. It's on the internet. Everybody knows about it. I don't know if you guys know about it, but, I went into a match. I was going into a House of Horrors match with a guy named JD Horror, who's my tag partner. And we built this great story. And man, it was a fantastic story, man. We told like just a killer story. And we went into this House of Horrors match, and I was drinking a lot at the time. I was going through a horse, and I was still drinking and just being a knucklehead, going downtown slow, just being a just a dipshit, honestly. And earlier in my wrestling career, I hurt my back. So I was popping, you know, pain pills to kind of keep myself going. And then when my ex-wife left, I ramped it up even harder, you know, to, you know, with the pain pills and everything else I was doing. I went into that mat. I went out the night before, partied hard, woke up, went to a buddy's house and we started making, you know, stuff for the match. And I was still drinking. And I should never have walked out that curtain. I was so blacked out that I barely made it to the ring. I barely got through the match. Like, JD literally had to carry me through the match. I got on the mic. I cut this horrendous promo that they had to, like, cut the microphone. I wanted to go fight the promoter in the back. Like, it was bad. It was really ill. It was horrible.
Wow.
It was, it was really bad. Then he went. And the promoter himself documented everything, uploaded it to YouTube with my name, and sent it to about 100 and 100 something different promoters telling them not to book me.
Wow.
From then I got bookings pulled from me, and I pretty much, like, I thought I was done wrestling 100%. I was like, I'm done. But to get back to the point of when I decided that I needed to get sober was JD Horror, who I was in the match with, who was my best friend, you know, and, you know, is like a brother to me. I called him because no one was answering my text messages after that. No one wanted to be around me, you know, so he finally picked up and he's like, dude, what's up? And I was like, yo, dude, like, it's weird. Like, no one wants to talk to you. No one wants to, like, deal with me, dude. Like, what's up? And he's like, dude, because you're fucked up, man. Like, you've gone down that hole, man. Like, no one wants to be around you. Like, you're my best friend. You're like my brother. I don't want to fucking be around you because you're so fucked up. But I literally was sitting at home with a beer in my hand.
Wow.
You know,
oh, man.
Watching my TV. Yeah. Man, with like a bottle of whiskey or some shit, you know?
Yep.
And I put him on FaceTime. And I dumped out all my booze in front of him. I dumped out all my pills down the toilet. And I told him, just check on me, man. And I called my work at the time. I was working at a guitar company at the time. I called the work and said I need to take a week off. It's an emergency. Me and the HR lady were pretty cool. So she understood. And I took a week off, and I detoxed. Completely cold. No rehab, no nothing, no anything, just... You know, it was so bad, dude, that, like, I would have to take, like, a shot and, like, a pill to keep going through the day because I was, like, thrown up in the shower, like, blood, you know, and in the mornings, like, literally vomiting in the shower.
Yep.
Getting out of the shower and, like, shaking until, like, I had something to, like, calm me down. And he checked on me every single day to make sure I was okay.
Wow.
And he literally was one of the guys who saved my life.
Yeah, so,
you know, and
so it wasn't just the tough love. It was the tough love followed by actual love by following up on you and not just, you know, like, just letting you get clean. It was he stuck with you. That's amazing, man.
Yeah, and he's stuck with me to this day, man. He's so proud. He's so proud of me. Like, JD Horror, you know, he tells me every day. You know, like almost every day that we talk, you know, he tells me how proud of him that he is of me.
Right.
And I'm just like, man, like, I'm just, you know, I'm just a guy who, you know, who just got a second chance on life. That's all it is, you know. And I won't, you know, I got 5.5 years clean and sober, you know, now.
Wow.
Almost, you know, August 5th will be 6 years and I'll be clean. And, it's had some ups and downs. Like, I have those temptations, you know, where I'm just like, you know, when I'm at dinner or something like that, or, you know, I have a party, you know, we have a party or, you know, whatever. And I go, man, can I just have one, you know, can I control it with just one?
Yeah.
You know, one or two. And then, I know that like one or two is going to turn into like four or five, and then me on the floor be fighting somebody. So I just kind of keep myself out of those situations as much as I possibly can.
I was just going to say, is it kind of even more difficult just thinking about that, where not only are you looking at having to fight those urges, but then because you went through the weight loss journey too, you've got to fight those urges. Is that all part of, you know, the, because I'm relating to a lot of what you're saying in terms of, you know, the, those urges, those temptations, and what you're trying to fight to keep your health, you know, both mentally and physically. Is this, you know, something that you really look at it as, you know, almost a battle every day that you're ready to take on?
Yeah. One of the things I say, man, is there's nothing in this world that is stronger than the demons that I face on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's 100%. You know, there's nothing strong in this world that, you know, that I, you know, than the demons I face every day, from waking up to the time I go to bed. And I don't really sleep as it is. Cause I'm just so used to just being up, you know, from the road and all that. Maybe I get maybe about 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, unless like I'm stupid tired, you know, from like a long tour or something like that, then I'll sleep for maybe about 6 or 7, but you know, my mind's always constantly going. It's always going. My mind doesn't stop, you know? So it's one of those things where, I just gotta stay out of those situations. It's kind of the best thing, you know, for me. And I have so much going for me right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to hinder that in any way, shape, and form. You know.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Definitely, man.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that you're typically, you know, not getting very much sleep and that kind of thing. So I was looking at your Instagram, and it looks like as if you are a connoisseur of the Bang energy drink. So that bears the question to be asked, which flavor of Bang is the best for Sledge?
That's awesome, man. You did a deep dive in my Instagram. I honestly, I haven't had a Bang in about 2 or 3 weeks, honestly. I think the last time I had a Bang was I was at MG Sports Supplements after a workout. I really like the Miami Cola, the new one. Everybody's like, it tastes flat. It's like a flat soda. I really enjoy it. I was really high on the birthday cake one. Okay. And the Rainbow Unicorn was really good on that one. But my favorite that they don't make anymore is the root beer. They don't make it anymore, man. And that was my absolute favorite, was the root beer. That was when they first started coming out. So,
damn.
You know, yeah. But I'm mostly a black coffee guy. I mostly drink black coffee. If you watch like my Instagram stories, like it's always like, you know, coffee me softly, and I tag people in it. That's just a joke between me and Coach Marvel that we have from the Hybrid School of Wrestling in Texas. Who has kind of taken me in as like family. That's just kind of an inside joke that we have. And I don't really remember where it came from. We just started doing it out of nowhere. And then, it just kind of grew into, you know, a lot of people doing it now. So it's kind of cool. So
that's awesome, man. And, so obviously, you know, your nickname or your moniker is the Metalhead Maniac. So of course I've got to ask, which bands are on the main playlist right now?
that's a cool question, man. That's mostly a lot of podcasts that do. They always ask me what my playlist is, which is totally cool. I recently rediscovered, because it popped in my head, Silverchair. Silverchair is, yeah, it's like a 90s like grunge band, and I know it's not like very metal, but they popped in my thing. And I was like, man, dude, like, I was like, they have this song called Freak. And,
yep.
And I was like, man, dude, like, who sings that shit? I was like, and it started playing in my head. I was like, fuck, I can't remember. Cause I used to have the CD as a kid. And I was like, damn it, who? And I was like, it's Silver something. And I was like, Silver Strand. I went through Silver Strand stuff. And I was like, man, they're a really good band. I forgot they were around too. And then Silverchair. So I've been listening to some Silverchair. Who else? Gideon. I saw Gideon and Devil Wears Prada together. They played a show in Baltimore, and that was awesome. Who's the other band? Damn it. Under Oath, okay. Maybe it was. Yeah. Okay. And like, yeah. And, my mind's going blank right now. I just said their name. Devil Wears Prada. I think they were on tour together, and I went and saw them. There's a guy named Gator who works for Ring of Honor. He's like the head camera guy, who's a huge metalhead as well. So we always go to like metal shows because he has like the hookup on metal shows.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. Always gets us on the list. They're huge. Like everybody in Baltimore is a real huge Ring of Honor fan. So you wear Ring of Honor anywhere, they usually, and you have. You know, they're usually like, do you work for them? Yeah, okay, yeah, come on. You know, it's kind of cool. But who else is on my playlist right now? I'm trying to think of who else is really on. I would have to, like, look at my phone and see who's not really on my playlist that anybody would really... the new Slipknot album is really good. I really enjoyed the new Slipknot album.
Oh, yeah. That album is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. I really like the new Weinberg. I'm really a big fan of his. He's a new drummer. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I used to play drums in a band, so I'm really into drummers. Shannon Larkin from Godsmack is like one of my favorite drummers. I'm a huge Godsmack fan.
Yeah.
Sully's good on the drums too.
Sully is amazing on the drums.
Yeah. Like I saw them live, and the two of them had a drum duel, and it was probably one of the coolest fucking things I've seen.
Yeah, I've seen them a couple times. I saw them do an acoustic set years and years and years ago, where they lit up the whole stage with like candles and fog. That was dope as shit.
Nice.
And then I saw them when the Faceless album, their newest album, Bulletproof, is absolutely, I think it's called Bulletproof. I'm almost positive that's what it's called. Is absolutely amazing. I think it's a really good, well-done album. Bad Wolves' new album is amazing.
Okay.
Who else is really, you know, I'm really, really high on? I listen to anything, man, like 80s hair metal. I mean, like Steel Panther and Poison and Motley Crue, and you know, sometimes I say I was born in the wrong era. I was born in the 70s or 60s, you know, so that I could enjoy the 80s, right? Because, you know, I really love all 80s hair metal. You know, Skid Row is like one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh yeah, so amazing. Yeah, amazing vocals, especially with them too.
Oh, Sebastian Bach's amazing.
Oh yeah,
and the new guy is amazing too.
Yes.
So yeah, seen Skid Row. I've seen Skid Row once, and I've actually partied with Skid Row.
Nice.
We snuck backstage and partied with them. It was a lot of fun.
Are you a fan of Tool?
I am a fan. Tool's new album, yes. I'm sorry. I'm glad you brought that up. It's amazing.
Yep.
It's so good.
So good. And talking about drummers, I mean, Danny's one of the best drummers
ever. He's so good. So good.
Were you influenced?
Rammstein.
You know, oh.
Being on tour, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Rage Against Machines coming back, and my buddy Gator had tickets to them when they were supposed to play in San Antonio, but then the quarantine happened and they canceled all the shows.
Yeah.
So, you know, he rubbed that in my face a long time. He's like, hey, you know, I don't know if you know this, man, but like, you know, the Gator, he's going to see Rage Against the Machine in a couple weeks. I don't know if you know that or not. And I'm like, you tell me this every day. You know, so.
No, that's interesting too, because I have, well, and we'll see when it happens, but I was supposed to go see Alice Cooper, and I had like a front row ticket. And it's that, just like, fuck, you know.
I saw Motley. I saw Alice Cooper play with Motley.
Okay.
And I think Alice Cooper should have headlined that damn show, because Motley, no offense to Motley, I love him, man, but I wasn't entertained in any way, shape, or form. But Alice Cooper, man, that guy was on fire the whole time. And then his female guitar player is absolutely stunning, too.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
I follow her on Instagram. I'm like, you're a badass chick, you know? Mm-hmm. Huge in the Hailstorm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've seen Hailstorm a couple times. They were great. New Year's Day is fantastic. Star Seth's fantastic. They did a tour, and I got to watch all of those guys, which was great. I love going to shows. I love anything that's like interacts with people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you mentioned everything from hair metal to, you know, current stuff. So I've got to ask, have you listened to Fozzy? And if you have, what do you think of him?
I have listened to Fozzy. I think Jericho's band is great.
Yeah.
I've known of Fozzy for years.
Yeah.
Before Fozzy got, you know, became, you know, Fozzy. Mm-hmm.
Well, you were still
doing stuff. When he was doing stuff like, go ahead.
You were in your late teens, early 20s, right, when they started? Because it's been about, oh god, you were a little younger then when they first started.
Yeah. I mean, I remember them doing stuff with like M Shadows.
Yeah.
From Avenged Sevenfold, which Avenged is another one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've done amazing, you know, Jericho's done amazing things, you know, with Fozzy, and I'm glad that he's getting the due. I've met Jericho a couple times. Like, if we walked in passing, he probably wouldn't even remember who I was, but obviously I would know who he was because Chris Jericho. But yeah, I've met him a couple times, and I met him at the NAMM show 2011. I met him at a bar. I met him a couple times, you know, and a really, really nice guy. So.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing about Fozzy, and I think this shows like when you develop something and how you can take it into stages. The fact that he started out as Mongoose McQueen, and they all had, you know, these like 80s hair metal type, you know, personas, and they just developed into one hell of a band. But, you know, the backbone of the band is, you know, Stuck Mojo, which you can't go wrong when you're able to get that kind of quality of musicians to play with you and then just develop it. It's mind blowing. Is there one group that you never seen that you hope to see, or is there one group that, let's say, is not around anymore that you would have loved to have seen live?
Ooh, that's a great question, because I've seen so many bands live.
Did you ever get a chance to see Pantera?
No. Okay, yeah, Pantera would be one that I would love to see. No, I never saw Pantera at all.
Man,
Pantera would be one of those bands that I would definitely want to see live.
You would have. I can't. Like, I'm speechless. That's how much fun and aggressive and great those concerts were. I seen them 3 times, I think it was.
Oh shit, that's cool.
Yeah. You know, one of the coolest things was the timing of my early 20s and coinciding with Ozfest. So I pretty much, I was pretty much at Ozfest for, you know, a decade straight. And, you know, I can't really say that I remember all of Ozfest. But man, those were good times. And what, you know, what lineups, you know, with almost every single you know, metal band that I could think of over the years played at Ozfest. And
yeah,
you know, it's just, it's cool talking about this because there is so much great music that I think sometimes gets labeled because of the fact that it's metal or aggressive or angry. And the funny thing about it is that these guys are so good at what they do that I think it's, you know, it relates kind of to like what you do in the ring. You know, it's like you get that opportunity, you get that chance, and then people start paying attention. And then eventually it becomes a little more like, oh yeah, I mean, that guy's good, you know? And I hope that when we're back to normal, that ROH will elevate you a little bit so that people can start really seeing what it is that you bring to the table. And I think you know, you definitely have that quality that will keep fans really following you and getting excited to see you, you know, on a weekly basis.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, there's been some rumbling and some talks, even while we've been on break. There could be something that just kind of watch Ring of Honor's social media in the next week or week and a half. Something could be popping up with my face on it. You never know.
Okay.
Hint, wink, wink. That I'm very, very proud of, and I'm very, very excited about. Just waiting on the green light, pretty much. So
nice. As we kind of wrap up here, is there something that in your life or in your career that you were told that stuck with you as something that you would love to pass on to other people?
Yeah, actually one of the biggest things that was taught to me was from Gangrel, who was like a mentor and like a, you know, like a wrestling uncle to me, is there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't go back and change it. Learn from it and move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think that's not only in the ring, but in life. And I think that's amazing that, you know, the way you look at things and the way that where you were with your life, it's really cool to see you rise from the ashes and, you know, things are, you know, happening. It's just, it's exciting, brother. And I'm really excited for where this is going for you. And I hope that,
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I hope once ROH is, you know, up and, you know, we're getting back to normal, that we can, you know, catch up with you, especially because I know at some point Ring of Honor is going to be here, you know, within the next end of the year, of course, with everything being up in the air. But
we usually hit around there, usually the March and September.
Yeah.
So I think as of right now, I would probably guaranteeing us with every, you know, if the quarantine comes up, that we'll probably be back there in September.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. And I'm hoping, man, that, you know, people are listening. People are, you know, following you. Where, if they want to look at you on social media, where would they look you up?
On Twitter and Instagram, it's Sledge805. That's the name with Snapchat. My Facebook is pretty full. I think I have 5,000. If not, I'm like right there on the teeter. So, but you still can hit that thing called the follow button on the Facebook.
Yep.
Even if I don't friend request, even if I don't accept your friend request, you still can hit that follow button. I do post on Facebook every once in a, I say about once or twice a week. I do go live on Facebook and just talk, you know, sometimes, and just ask people like how they're doing, especially in the time of the quarantine. Kind of try to give them as much entertainment as I possibly can with as little as I can. But mostly I'm on Instagram and I was at Sledge805. So, and that's because area 805 is my area code and that's where I grew up. So.
And is there, do you have any, merchandise or anything like that that fans can go and find and purchase?
I mean, if you hit me up, I can send you an 8x10 signed. But as of right now, no, I'm sold out of shirts and I'm sold out of all that. And I'm kind of at the office's, what's the best word? It's up to the office of when they're going to make me a new shirt.
Right, right.
Yeah, so because, you know, the corporate and all that fun stuff. So.
Excellent. Well, brother, we really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you. We definitely will have you on again.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and, you know, again, your journey has been amazing, man, and we can't be more excited and more motivated ourselves to, you know, just kind of take the bull by the horn. And it's just such a great story, and I hope that, you know, if you can reach at least one person every day, you know, that they find you and realize, hey man, I can do it too. I can, you know, whether it's, you know, take control of my weight, take control of my, whatever my, demons are, and just slay them and go forward, man. You're definitely an inspiration.
I appreciate that. And if you guys do follow me on Instagram or on Twitter, you guys will see that I will never post anything negative. Everything will be a positive post. I believe there's too much hate in the world. And there's too many people that decide to post too much hate on the internet. So, you'll always get something clean on my, Instagram or on my Twitter or on my Facebook. So,
and I like the fact that you'll post pictures of your dog and other dogs, because that makes my day.
Yeah, man, my dog is literally just standing in front of me right now.
Shout out.
shout out to Bentley the dog. So I'm gonna make up my own his own Instagram, just like Taven has his own dog's Instagram.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Awesome, brother. Well, we appreciate your time, and get through this quarantine like everyone else, and, you know, brother, just stay safe and healthy, and we're looking forward to big things, man.
All right, man. Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right, brother. Take care. Thanks for listening, everybody, to Matt Michaels' People That I Don't Hate. Keep your eyes and ears open for the next episode to drop soon. In the meantime, don't forget to check out all the programs offered by the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And remember to follow us on social media. And please tell your friends, like us, and subscribe and listen to the show. Thank you again, everybody. Till next time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.